strategy of experimentation in space from the idea to the space flight and finally to the results. Why to go to space? Maybe you have a great idea. Fine. Or you think space flight is fascinating. Yes, it can be. A lot of work. But I think the most important is my investigation really required space conditions, 0G. So then first you have to see what has been done. You have an idea and you go and find the literature on what has been done. So check the literature for the work which has been done by others. Maybe you already know. So there are some databases. One is PubMed. I know you also have access from here. You can go into Google. Oh, there are two databases. One is from NASA and one is from ESA. But I must say, they are a little bit, or even more than a little bit, outdated. I checked some experiments in NASA, and I know ESA database, actually it was me which was writing all the reports on biology, and I think I stopped in 94, it's the last. Now they are reworking it, because they no more did it again. And I checked also NASA database for some experiment. It's an explanation of what this person wanted to do, but there are no results, only on the very early experiment. So it's better you go in PubMed. You can also try in Google. Then, it's a repetition maybe by now. What is different in space? We have, first of all, no thermal convection. Of course, we have 0G. We have no hydrostatic pressure. And we have a transition from a B to a three-dimensional geometry. Ground 1G, you remember, all cells sitting on the bottom of the culture vessel. Whereas, in microgravity, they are all floating. Unless you really have adherent cells which you really adhere to the surface. And you have cosmic radiation. Again, the question, is space really necessary? Can we not use ground-based facilities? Now you have learned, we have simulation devices, as a fast-rotating clinostat and a random positioning machine. And I think today you really first have to use these tools. This at least is valid for us in Europe, but I don't know how it will be in China if you have easier access to space, but I doubt about it. Maybe you know about it, Jen. Okay, but anyway, I guess all this is valid for everyone. You have to write a proposal to perform this experiment and submit it, maybe to space agency or whoever asks you to do so. You have to summarize the relevant literature, as I told you. You should include results from own experiments in simulated microgravity. This is today very important. In Europe, more or less, they no more accept an experiment if you cannot show them that your organism, which you would like to study, really is sensitive to microgravity. Because there are organisms, and also we have studied cell lines, which do not show any effect. So it's better if you can prove already, okay, my organism has an effect, and I now really would like to do my experiment in space. And what is also today important, look for international collaboration. Your chance is much bigger to fly this experiment if you can do it together with international colleagues. It's more worth. Now, there is an important difference between an experiment on ground and an experiment in space. And I very often mention some facts, but now you see on ground, you just decide, today I would like to do this experiment. Maybe you decide even a week before. You decide, you prepare, you go in the lab, you do it, and then afterwards, immediately, you do the analysis, and you have a result. But this is different in space. Of course, you have to prepare your samples on ground. Then you have to hand it over to space agency. If you are lucky with biology, you can ask for late access. Should ask for biology for late access. This means that you can hand over your sample as late as possible before launch. For instance, in physics, material science, they have to hand over days, sometimes even weeks before the launch, because their sample, they do not deteriorate. But our biological samples are different. Then finally, we have a launch. Then some astronauts or has to perform it in space, or today very often you have an instrument which is automatic, so maybe the astronaut only has to put the container from one place to the other. And at the end of your experiment, you always have to fix your sample. And then you have to wait. First, you have to store it in space. Hopefully, you get the temperature you ask for. Either 4 degrees, maybe frozen. Then it comes down from space, you have landing. Then you get it back, and then finally you can do analysis on ground. So you see, there is quite a difference in between. And you have to check all these different states. There are several constraints for a spaceflight experiment. And you have to try to fight for what you want, but you never get what you want. So, of course, you ask for a lot of samples. You want to do a lot of analysis, because you are not flying into space each day, but the number is limited of samples, because they're also your colleagues. They would like to fly. It's always a compromise. Then this is the crew time, which is very limited today. And then you also have a timeline for your experiment. For instance, you think, okay, I would like to incubate, let's say, 10 hours. That's the best for my experiment. Then fight, start with space agency, because they look at the timeline of the astronaut. If astronaut does something, oh no, 10 hours, this does not fit. Now he has to eat, now he has to sleep. All these constraints. Finally, maybe you end up that you fix after 8 hours or 12 hours, but never the 10 hours you have asked. Then you also have to justify that you really need late access, means as near as possible to launch. And also you would like to have your samples back as soon as possible after landing, that they do not sit somewhere at an undefined temperature waiting for you. And then, of course, the preservation of your samples means fixation. You have to test all these conditions with your cells. You must do a lot of experiment to see if your cells, or whatever is the organism, can adjust to the timeline they give you. When you say you want to have 10 hours because this is the best time, they tell you no. You can only have 8 hours. You have to go back in the laboratory, test it again. Can I have still the result, which I would like? If not, you have to fight. And sometimes it helps. You need, of course, a special instrument. You know, I don't know who of you is working in the laboratory. We have special flasks for cell cultures, which you cannot use in space. So we have to ask engineers to construct for us this instrument hardware. And first you have to prepare a special document in which you tell Space Agency and the engineers exactly what you need. How much volume I would like to have, how many samples, must I inject something, must I take out something. All this you should write down with all the volumes, everything. And what's also important in a way, you should start learning the language of these engineers. They talk another language as you biologists. Then you should try to be directly involved in the development of this instrument at all stages. I can give you an example. For instance, we got an instrument for a sounding rocket. It was constructed in the Netherlands. They brought this to us in the lab. No, they were sending it to us in our laboratory in Zurich, and we started to work with it. And we realized that these engineers didn't think, because we had one small chamber for cell culture, another one for the activator, and another for fixative. There were three holes in a block, and it was covered with some plastic material. And we immediately realized when we cover it, it all mixes up already at that point. So that's not what we want. So I took the phone, I explained them. The engineer was coming into our lab, and I told him, I showed him what happened. Yeah, but why you fill them up completely? We cannot have air bubbles in it. So he didn't know that. So you start to negotiate. Finally, we had what we wanted. And of course, with all the instruments, you must do a lot of tests in the laboratory because it's also a different material. And I'll show you later what I mean. And there's more work to do. If you are going, for instance, on space station or space lab, there is astronaut on board, so you have severe safety regulations. And you have to follow all these regulations. And you have to prepare many documents. Means, really, it's different if you are going on a carrier where astronauts are on board, or if it's an unmanned mission, then it's much easier. Because safety regulations is always, if something comes out from my containers, it could be harmful for astronauts, even their normal cells. Then you have to prepare, finally, when you all have done, for the so-called flight campaign. We always had to go either to Kennedy Space Center, to Kiruna, and last experiment to Baikonur. So you have to see into the logistics, how you bring your material there, liquids and lab material. And this did mean for us we also had to prepare customs document because we were traveling. I was traveling from Zurich, my colleagues from Italy, first to Moscow and then to Baikonur. So we had to go over customs. Maybe within China this is easier. I do not think you have customs. It's not so easy. Okay. Same problems? Okay. So you better follow it. And you also must prepare a list of items which you need at the launch site to prepare your experiments. Because you go out of your lab where you just can open a drawer, you have everything there, but there you have to bring everything. So you should think before that you do not forget anything. Now I show you two examples of our own experience. First is the experiment in Space Lab 1. It has been proposed in 76, so a long time ago. Of course, we needed this instrument. It was the so-called portable incubator. You have seen it already several times. And the culture container. And we asked a company to construct it for us. But the company, that what the company offered us, or they constructed it, we couldn't use. It was falling apart. So one of our collaborators, he also was a mechanical engineer, then he did it in the lab. That's finally what came out. You have seen it. Then we had to think about the culture containers. I don't know if you have seen culture flasks, which we usually use. They are plastic material, and this we couldn't use for space. So then first we had to test a lot of materials which the cells did like, to find out in which material we can grow cells. The shape is a little bit different, and I already explained once to you this moving piston. So we had to select the material. We had to do the so-called biocompatibility tests. This means we had to grow our cells together with the material which we wanted to use to construct this flask. And I think tested about 50 materials. I don't know. But finally, we ended up with this Teflon. Then you have to adapt your culture system to space condition. We didn't have a CO2 incubator, so the culture medium has to be adjusted. Then we had to test the fixation of samples in space so that afterwards on ground we really could do the analysis what we would like to do. So it's quite different than normal lab work. It's quite exciting. Then you have to do a lot of tests. I only show you one. It's a huge machine. And somewhere in between is our small incubator. This was a so-called vibration test. That's one of the tests all instruments have to go through. And there they simulate the launch conditions, the vibrations, and maybe also the G-loads of the launch, depending when it was a shuttle, vibrations and G-load is not so high, but when we went on a sounding rocket, it's much higher. And we had to prove that our instrument is not falling apart. But there were other tests. Finally, we had a crew training. That was in 79 in our laboratory. I don't know if you know this man still. He's sitting over there. Maybe no. And these are the first astronauts at that time from Europe. This is the Swiss astronaut, Claude Nicollier, Ulf Merbold, who finally did it, and this is the Dutch. And these are US astronauts. And this is Owen Garriott. He has flown to the moon. No, not to the moon. In a Skylab, yes. Okay. So we had to show them our instrument and what they have to do. And finally, 7 years after the experiment has been proposed, we went to Kennedy Space Center and we had to prepare our lymphocytes. I have shown you. And this is always a crucial step. And when we saw that here we have this white band, we knew we have cells. Isolation of lymphocytes. We filled our culture container, and then at 5 hours before launch, this was very, very late, we handed over to NASA. And then finally we had a launch in November 83. And this was a special moment when you are waiting so long. I don't know if you know these two. They look a little bit older today. Okay, then the incubator was brought by the crew into the shuttle, and as soon as they opened Space Lab, they installed it here in Space Lab, and then they performed the experiment. And after the shuttle came down, we got the samples a few hours after landing, and then they were transported to Zurich, and the analysis was done. And finally, we could publish the results in Science, which is a very good journal. And I have explained you already these quite surprising results. So this is Space Lab 1. Now, I show you my latest experiment. Experiment Maya. Mia, like I called it. This means motion and interact. This is the experiment with the monocyte cell line and the lymphocytes. monocytes, the motility of the cells, and interaction of monocyte with lymphocyte, flown in the first cubic mission on the International Space Station. This is the official title of the experiment, and I have proposed it two times in 1997 and 1998. The first proposal was just to study the motility of these monocytes, and then the second one I proposed that I also would like to study the interaction between monocytes and lymphocytes, the second signal in lymphocyte activation. The history of this experiment, you see also the always drawbacks. In 1997, the first proposal. In 1998, I made the second one, and it was accepted. And 1 year later, I got a flight. I was assigned on the so-called Research 2 mission from NASA, and launch date was scheduled for 2002. Nice. Okay, 3 years later. Then I had to make another proposal to get my hardware, this means my instrument, paid by somebody. And I got also this money, and in 2000 we started to develop the instrument.